First scripture reading is Psalm 23, found on page 862 in the church Bibles. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the second reading is John chapter 10, verses 7 through 18, and that would be on page 1666 in the Bible. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. That's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Bruce. So the sermon this morning, we're going to look at the epistle of 1 John. So in 1 John 3:11 through 24, if you'd like to turn here and follow along as I read. John writes, this is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. So do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. For we know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. And anyone who does not love remains in death. And anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And if anyone has material possessions, sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with action and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. And he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, to love one another as he commanded us. And those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for this opportunity once again just to read your word, to be in your presence, and to know that you are with us and among us. Guide us today in our thinking and our speech. Help us to know your will, where you would have us to go. Guide us in all that we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Joe, before you get started, there's a squeal.
You got a squeal, Rod? We don't know why.
We're taping on the computer.
Oh. As
soon as you turn that on,
it's
gremlins.
Gremlins. We got gremlins. Gremlins. Turn the gremlin off then.
I had to make sure it wasn't just my ears. Oh. Said ears.
Well, you know, my ears, they ring all the time, so I'm used to it. Well, it's good to be back. I don't know if you're glad I'm back.
Yeah, we are.
But it's good to be back. I heard you about ruined now. You were picking on him. But I'm glad and I'm thankful that Al could fill in for me while I was gone. He is a dear friend and a brother, and we've just made a good connection, and I pray he made the same connection with you while he was here. So when I got thinking about this sermon that I was going to get today, I had an interesting development before I ever left, because I started to write it before we went on vacation. And Bonnie was complaining about her wiper blades in the car, so I had to run to the local parts store. So I get over there, and I've been there way too many times. And I walk in, and usually whenever I go in there, one of the guys behind the counters, they see me and ask me what I would want, and they call me by name. They say, what do you need today, Joe? Well, it was different when I went in there. I go in there, and I'm looking around. I'm looking, okay, so nobody spoke, but I'm figuring, okay, where do they keep the wiper blades? I go back to the wiper blades. And the guy behind the counter says, how can I help you today? And he's looking at me, and I was doing my due diligence. I pulled my mask down. He's, oh, Joe, what do you need? And I told him, and he promptly got it. But isn't that really sad? Sometimes I got to thinking about it. I think about how do others recognize us? And that is what John was writing about in his epistle today. He said they recognize us by our characteristics, by who we are, by who they see. What do people see when we go out from this church on Sunday morning? What do they really see? And the more I thought about that, and I got reading about it, and I got thinking, all right, so how do we make this real to people? And I got reading this one story that was on the internet. It was about this fellow who went to his pastor. He says, I got a little problem. My son came to me, and he asked me, what was God's toughest job? What's the toughest job God ever had to do? So I thought I'd come to you, Pastor, and ask you. Well, the pastor, he's a bit befuddled by himself. He's thinking about it. He's thinking, you know, he says, I went to seminary. I studied all this stuff. He said, but I don't ever exactly know the right answer to that question. So he looked right back at the gentleman. He said, so what do you think was the right answer? What answer did you give his son? He said, well, I went to college, and I took science, and he says, and I got thinking about it, and probably the greatest thing, the toughest job he ever had was creation. And he said, but then it didn't quite hit home. So I was in Sunday school the other week. We got talking about all I think the toughest job God ever had to do was to tell us, make us understand who he is and that he loves us. And that's exactly what John was writing about. He's telling us the toughest job God ever has to do, and he's still doing today, is help us to recognize who he is and that he loves us. You know, we're all recognized in certain ways, and I got thinking about how we are recognized when we leave here. And I got thinking about, what is the essence of our recognition? How do people recognize us? Well, I got thinking about it. You know, there's so many different ways that they identify who people are by their DNA. You know, we all have our own DNA that can be identified. Did you know? And I found this interesting when I got looking about how people can recognize us. They can do it by your cardiac signature, by your heartbeat. I thought, really? Everybody's got a different heartbeat. And you can be recognized by that because each one's as individuals. I thought, nah. So I looked at it a little bit further. Sure enough, Congress appropriated funds. They wanted to build a laser that could identify people 600 feet away by their cardiac signature and know exactly who they are. Well, I thought that was a little scary. But it's true. Then I got to get further. I'm thinking, so how do people know who you are when you walk down the street? In 1 John, in chapter 3, the first verse we read in chapter 3, it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that's what we are. And the reason the world did not know us is that it did not know him. Think about that. How are you recognized when you leave here? How are you recognized when you go to the auto parts store? Do we have to lower a mask? Or can I tell right away that I know you're a child of God? Do people know that when you leave here? So then to John, he goes on and he says, so if you want others to know you're a child of God, you have to know how they can recognize you. What's your cardiac signature going to be? And it's the essence of what a Christian faith really is. It's love. And he talks to us about what this love really should look like. I made a bunch of notes of things I was going to talk about. And if you read our message on the internet, it's going to be a whole lot different than what I'm giving here this morning, probably. I don't follow plans real well. Never have, probably never will. But I did write down the definition of essence, and I wanted to share it with you. Because essence, according to the Webster's Dictionary, is the basic, real, and invariable nature of a thing, or a significant individual feature or features. So what is the essence of our Christian faith? If the essence of it is love, how do we show it? What does it look like? When I got looking at this, I got looking at a cartoon from Charles Schulz. He loved to draw cartoons, and he always had a point when he drew it. So I got looking at the one, and it was the one of Charlie Brown and Lucy. They're at that proverbial fence, you know, and they're talking. And Charlie Brown, he's looking a little sad and lonely, and like, because nobody ever recognizes him or identifies him. He says, you know what would make me happy? He's talking to Lucy. He says, if somebody just tell me that they like me, make me happy, I'd be happy. And Lucy looks at him and says, are you sure? If somebody just told you that they liked you, that would make you happy? And that'd be good enough? Well, Charlie Brown, he says, sure, that's all I really need. That's all I really want. Somebody tell me that they like me so I can be happy. Well, Lucy looks back and says, you're telling me if I tell you I like you, that you're going to be happy, and that's all you need? He said, yeah. So Lucy, she thinks about it. She talks to herself, I can't do it. She walks away. Too often as Christians, that's what we are doing, and we don't even realize it. Too often, we forget that the essence of our faith is love. That's what John's talking about here. Think about it. What is the essence of our faith if it's love? How do we deal with the world that's going on around us? How do they recognize us? How do we show that? So I've got to the point, and I don't know, I'm certain many of you and lots of people I've talked to, I have a hard time watching the news anymore of all that's going on in the world, all the changes that take place, and it's like, I can't understand, and I've said this to Bonnie a lot of times, I can't understand how people can see things like this, how this is taking us in the wrong direction. And then I have to go back to God in prayer, and I say, God, what do I do with this? Because I don't understand these people. I don't understand what they're thinking. How do I deal with them? And then he says to me here, you know what love is? Love is knowing that God loves us. That's how we know what God is, who God is. It's because he deals with everything out of love for his children, for you and for me. He deals with us in a loving manner. Because we know what love, God's love, is not an emotional thing. It's not touchy-feely. It's not opening your mouth and just spewing words out. But as John writes, love is taking action. It's truth in action. You have to do something with it. It has to cost something. It's not cheap. For us to love another requires a cost, a price. And it's going to cost us. So then the next time you disagree with somebody, you say, okay, so what am I supposed to do with this, Lord? And he's going to tell you two things. First thing he's going to tell you is that you need to remember that you're a witness in the world. So God can be known. God's toughest job, to know who God is, we have to love them. So now next time you see somebody that you're not agreeing with or you don't like what they're doing, and you're thinking, okay, God, how do I help this person? You know what you really have to do? You have to look right at them and see God's face. Say, okay, what would God do? He would love them. What's the worst thing you've ever done? And God looked at you and he said, I still love you. I will forgive you. I will help you. All you got to do is ask. That's the same kind of love we're supposed to have. We're supposed to have love in action and truth. And that's how we get to know that God loves us. That was his toughest job. The second thing we need to know is love is a gift. It's given freely. There's no cost involved. It has to be given away to have any good done by it, to make us know who we are, to make us, help us to let others know who God is. Because, as John writes, love is action and truth. I was watching a Twilight Zone episode, and it showed this guy who thought he died, he went to heaven. He's there, and it didn't matter what game and table he went to, he won. And he was happy. He think, wow, this has got to be heaven. No matter what I did, I can't lose. Until he got sick of winning. And he got thinking about it, thinking, no way, man. He's looking around, he says, I win all this time, but I'm in hell because I got nobody to share it with. That's how love works. That's the love that God has given to us. He's given us this love, and it does no good unless we put it in, take action and share it with someone else. That is the essence of Christian faith. It is love. No matter what. No matter how we look at it. As I thought about this, I was reminded of a song I learned quite a while ago by Andrew Peterson. And I thought he really got to the point of it when he wrote "After the Last Tear Falls." And I thought, I really need to share that this morning with you. Because every time I sing it, it touches my heart to know that no matter what happens, we have a God that desperately wants us to know Him and know who He is. And He wants us to know that He loves us. And we should have that same love. Because after the last tear falls, after the last secret's told, after the last child stars, that's not right. You know, I better start over again. Oh, sounded good to begin with. If I could read the words, I'd be doing good. After the last tear falls, after the last secret's told, after the last bullet passed through flesh and bone, after the last child stars and the last girl walks the boulevard, after the last year that's just too hard, there is love, 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 love. There is love, 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 love. There is love. So after the last disgrace, after the last line of say some faith, after the last brutal jab from a poisoned tongue, after the last dirty politician, after the last meal down at the mission, after the last lonely night in prison, there is love, 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 love. There is love, 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 love. There is love. And in the end is oceans and oceans of love, love again. We'll see how the tears that have fallen were caught in the palms of the giver of love, lover of all, and we'll look back on these tears, soul tales. After the last plan fails, after the last siren's wail, after the last young husband sails off to join the war, after the last his marriage is over, after the last young girl's innocence is stolen, after the last years of silence, don't let a heart open, there is love, 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 love. There is love, 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 love. There is love. And near the end is oceans in oceans, love, love again. We'll see how the tears that have fallen were caught in the palms of the giver of love, lover of all, and we'll look back on these tears, old tales. Oh, in meadow green and river wide, in the valleys deep and on mountains high, in meadows green and river wide, the valleys deep in on mountains high, there is love. Love, 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 there is love. Definitely the toughest job God has to do is help us understand who He is and that He loves us. Remember, love is the essence of our Christian faith. And it's our primary witness to the world. And we received it as a gift. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for how you provided for us, especially for the love that you have given to us. Help us to send that same love out to the world so others may come to know you and know that you love them. Guide us in all that we do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.